coming to you live like I do every night from the heart of your radio. I play a little sad and I play a lot of glad and a few old cheap songs. Here's hoping everybody out in radio land finds a love just as true as mine.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. We do this every other week. Always a pleasure to have State Representative Jennifer Fidler, my state House member, on with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
How you doing, Jeff?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. We always appreciate it. Well, finishing touch with the legislative session. We're about 5 days removed from it. How you feeling?
Well, it's nice to be finished and not having to go to Montgomery every week. We put the bow tie on it and walked out the other day. You know, everybody got to wear their bow ties, you know, on that last day of session. We've done a lot. We've had some hard votes this year. We wasn't supposed to be controversial, and I think it was anything but. We had an exciting session.
Yeah, well, those last few days are kind of crazy. The one, where you are on it, the dog tethering bill, it was one of these. I was surprised it got as far as it did so late, but I guess you had some concerns about it. Kind of walk us through that.
Okay. I've had a lot of comments on this bill and what my vote was and how I got to the vote. SB 361 went through the Senate really quickly. You know, the Senate pro tem carried the bill. And it went and it goes to Ag and Forestry. So it was in my committee. And we knew it probably wasn't going to pass committee. There was just too much controversy around it. The definitions were overly broad. There were some things that just didn't fit across, but we didn't know exactly how to fix some of those things. And it got kind of late to actually work on the bill more than what we did. I'm not sure that there is a video of that Ag and Forestry meeting out there, but that would be interesting to see. But we ended up getting picked and being put on the House floor for us to vote on. And with the controversy surrounding it, there was a point, there were so many amendments. One of my colleagues said that he'd been serving in the legislature for so many years and had not seen 8 different amendments on a bill that came to the House floor. It just needed some more work. I sat back there and listened to all the debate, and I said, I know what we can do to fix this. And that would be to allow the municipalities or counties to opt into this. Some places in this state have an issue. Some places, it's obvious, the DAs are being able to handle the animal abuse out there that's going on with our current laws. So where there is issues, let's allow them to opt into some sort of being able to take care of this issue. So I went down there with an amendment. That amendment did get passed initially, and then we had further debate on the motion to adopt the amendment. And that's when it did get tabled. But it was interesting how that bill, if somebody followed it, throughout the whole session. How it kind of came through. And apparently there's a lot of issues with this in the northern part of our state, but a lot of the rural areas thought it just went way beyond what we should be doing. For example, that the adequate shelter and tethering is described in a way that is overly broad and doesn't really reflect how many responsible pet owners in rural areas care for their animals. So the farming community really came out against it. and said, this is, there's no way we're okay with this, and we do not think it's something we should be doing. Of course, I have a strong family farm background, and not knowing that we have any issues with taking care of our animal abuse in our area, I've not heard from our DAs ever telling me that we can't use our current animal abuse laws to make sure somebody's prosecuted for this type of abuse. So that is the fix that I thought we would be have throughout the state. Of course, then that fix didn't get through. I voted yes on the BIR to make sure we had debate on it, which is important to make sure we talked about this. And the ultimate final vote is when I voted no on it. But yeah, I've had a lot of comments on that. I do want to make sure I got that out there and explain it. So thank you for asking me about that. Also, we're going to have some town halls scheduled in the district, so that anybody else would like to talk to me, and I would be happy to talk to somebody, anybody, one-on-one about that. But that we had a lot of people abstaining, we had a lot of people passing, and then we had several people that voted no, and those were your main reasons.
Well, hey, let's get back to the bill. You said it was overly broad. I mean, can you elaborate on that a little bit? I you know, this kind of crept up out of nowhere. I had heard about it, and people were in all these sort of like animal rights, humane society groups, and people were very adamant on social media. But I saw some of the comments about some of your concerns. I guess kind of walk us through that. Like, well, what was the problem? Would you say it was vague or overly broad?
Okay, Heather. So some of these folks, like out in the rural area, so now when somebody ties up their dog, it is a certain type of constraint that you have to use. It will be illegal to use anything else besides some sort of swivel and a trolley system when you put it, your dog outside on any type of tether, which means you're tying it up to a pole or any kind of structure. It has to be on a trolley system to move back and forth. It has to be have a swivel on the collar. It has to have the swivel on the other side. Those are great best management practices. But the question is, should we have that in a state law? Like every time you tie up your dog? Now, there's a lot of exclusions, like the ones for hunting and farm animals or, you know, training purposes, that sort of thing. Because there are many exclusions on that. But pretty much, if you leave your dog on a tether for an extended period of time, like during the day, you have to have that particular style or it's illegal and you can have a fine. If you don't have adequate water or feed, which of course all dog owners, most of them have adequate dog water and food, but usually when you feed your dog, they drink the food or eat the food and it's gone. And some people feed their dog once or twice a day. But so usually though, when the food is gone, that's it. But if somebody comes out and checks and there's no food in the bowl and your dog looks thinner than what they think that needs to be, then are you going to get, that's your first violation. The shelter definition. There's a lots of examples. We have calves on the farm. We drop calves, 70, 80 pound calves, usually during the wintertime. Well, the definition of extreme weather conditions, we're not out there, but some of these dogs, big dogs, not, they're like a calf. I mean, they're like a big animal that are okay if they are in some sort of, does it need to have a solid floor? I don't know. Is hay okay? One of my colleagues mentioned, you know, some people use a barrel and put hay in the bottom. But that's not considered okay because it's, that definition is not okay in that. So to me, the shelter, I was concerned about that, because think about these rural dogs that are out there, that farm dogs that don't go into a, like we always had a garage, but these, some folks don't have a garage. So garage would fit the definition. But what about folks that don't have a garage that live out in these areas that don't allow the dogs in the house, which I'm going to tell you what, most people do. When I went door knocking, when we had 80% of the people out there had inside dogs, which I was surprised, but that is very common. But you've got folks out there in the rural areas that they don't, and they just have a bed or something out there for their animals that they can stay warm, but it might not necessarily have the way it's described in the bill. So those were some of the concerns I had. Whenever somebody looks at your property and says, "Oh, this is something that we don't like," that's your neighbor calling the police and having them. It's almost like instead of your neighbors being neighborly, we're just going to call the police on your folks and turn them in. And that's a bad precedent, I think. You know, that's a, I think for what the bill, there was I listened to a lot of it. One of the things I thought was important was the chaining. I said, well, I understand that dogs shouldn't be chained. But then the next time I heard somebody say, wait a second now, think about these big bulldogs. If you don't have them on some sort of small chain or something, so what are you talking about? What gauge chain are you talking about? Because they can easily break a chain. They can easily chew through a rope, and they can attack people. They can climb the fence. They can dig out of the fence. The topic was a lot broader than, and it's a lot deeper than what people, I think, expect. And you want to get it right.
Right.
I'm in no way, shape, form, or fashion okay with animal abuse. That's why we have animal abuse laws. Those are some things, the excuse to come on private property and check out your property because somebody don't like how your dog looks, that can really go overboard. So I think that was one of the, the farming community was so adamantly against it too, that this starts this, we have a poor looking cow out there and you think that, the things on it, we've had it over here and now you don't like the way it looks. It's just, that starts are we going down that road and starting something that we all are not okay with? That makes sense.
Yeah, it's not something I studied, but I know there's a lot of noise surrounding it. But I guess more than anything, just kind of surprised how it got passed. It's like you said, it looked dead, and then like Lazarus, it comes back, and the next thing you know, it's on the governor's desk.
It was important to. The Speaker Pro Tem, I think he was very important to him, and so that had a lot of weight. Jeff had a lot of weight with it.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But it's election year, and these things are popular, and are at least to some constituencies. So I'm glad we had the opportunity to talk about that. So other things kind of died on the last day. I think the biggest, I expected the closed primary bill to die in the Senate. There was no way that was going to get to the floor, I thought. Even if they'd put it on the calendar, there's ways they have to keep that from getting a vote. But the one that was really interesting, the Barfoot bill with the policing in the Class 2 cities not getting a vote. What and I know it's not really necessarily something that pertains to anywhere in this listening audience, but I thought that would make it for sure.
Yeah. Well, it did go through Public Safety and Homeland Security, which I sit on that as well. And I never made any comments at Homeland Security and Public Safety because there were a lot of comments. But I do feel like this is an issue in Montgomery. Those police officers over there are doing a fantastic job. but we've got a third of the number of officers that they should have in that area. Montgomery, people are leaving Montgomery. It is so sad to me to see our capital city, a city that we should be so proud of, and that people are leaving every day because of the crime or because of the homicides, the number of homicides that we're having. And this is where we go to govern. Our elected officials are there. We got some of the, you know, it's just, it should be some place that we are extremely proud of in this state. It's safe. We have great schools. It is the center of commerce and activity. And that is an issue to me, that we don't have enough officers to really make these people feel safe and see the people that have stable incomes, that grew up there, that want to be there, that would love to live there, but they cannot because they don't feel safe enough, and so they're leaving. And so you have those stable incomes, the things, the people that really will make that city a viable, economically stable city are just leaving in droves. That's sad to me. That has got to be fixed. We have got to stand behind Senator Barfoot on that. And whatever, you know, with these things, he wanted to make sure we had enough officers over there to take care of the crime issues and help stabilize. And some people say, oh, we don't have the money. They found the money. They know that, from what I understand, the money should not have been an issue. And we need, as a body, to stand behind those efforts to try to make sure we, in this state, take care of Montgomery. I feel pretty strongly about it. I never really stated that in the city, county, government, public safety meeting because it was going to pass. And I didn't state that, but I do feel strongly about it. I hate that we didn't come up with a vote. You know, a lot of things were filibustered, so we would have ran out of time. It was the very last thing on our agenda. We got out of there at 6:00 or 6:30 that night, and you know, that would have been could have been filibustered to midnight, or we could have, you know, we could have cloistered, but it would have been a late night for some, you know, all of us. But yeah, I hate that it didn't get through for the folks of Montgomery. Now, there's mixed opinions on that. Absolutely. I mean, mixed opinions on it. And I hear my colleagues on the other side of the fence, and I understand where they are. But I hope we can take a closer look at that next year. And I hope it changes. Things change. I hope, you know, those homicides go down.
Representative, we got to leave it there. We're out of time. But we always appreciate you making time for us, and we'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
Alrighty, thank you, Jeff. Y'all have a great day.
You too. State Representative Jennifer Fiddler there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.